Squadron Podcast, Chicago's home for X-Wing discussion, strategy, and entertainment.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, good night to all of you who are listening to the Gold Squadron Podcast. I'm Dion Morales, and I am here with Alex.
Hey, everybody.
It's just you and me today. You're in my co-pilot seat. It's good to have you.
It's always good to be here.
Let's talk about the change that's coming to Gold Squadron. So the first thing that's happening is we're going to be working really hard to get you two podcasts a month. One that comes out around the 15th, which is this one, and one that comes out around the 30th, which will be coming. The idea is the one that comes out on the 15th is going to be more about news, more type of casual. We'll talk about modding your ships, different ways to play the game that's not necessarily competitive play. And we'll also be doing our X-Wing Trivia Challenges on this episode. And then on the 30th, that's what we'll be talking about, our more competitive things, list building, just very competitive and strategic oriented. Does that make sense?
Yeah, basically stuff like how the meta looks at the moment, things that can be upcoming that'll change the meta, any new lists that we hear could shake things up, stuff like that.
Today, the majority of the time, we're going to be in our Unlock the Holocron section, where we break down the Heroes of the Resistance and the Wave 9 spoilers. We do have our installment of X-Wing Trivia Challenge, where Alex actually participates. A lot of fun. A new segment, which is going to be called It's a Trap, where we talk about improving the play experience for you and your opponent. And, of course, we'll go through upcoming events and then close out the show. You ready to go?
Let's do it.
All right, punch it.
Unlock the Holocron.
All right, so first thing we're going to cover is the Heroes of the Resistance. FFG released an article back in May titled, "These Are Your First Steps." We hear that line from Obi-Wan two separate times. The one that is a little more hidden is in The Force Awakens. In Rey's crazy dream, you hear Obi-Wan Kenobi say, "These are your first steps." It's like the last word. So if you haven't heard that, go back, go find your Blu-ray, and listen to that part.
And then we also hear Obi-Wan say the same line to Luke, right as Luke's leaving Tatooine with Obi-Wan about to board the Millennium Falcon. He says the same line. So it's a cool little linking there.
Rey Skywalker?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I hope not.
In the Heroes pack, let's kind of overview this. I know there was so many complaints when this came out.
Oh yeah,
right. Oh, it's like, oh, why Rebels don't need more stuff? Or it's a lot of complaining. Like, why can't you get me an E-Wing fix instead? I understand. It's marketing. If you're new to the game, which is what this is the part I look at it. We had a huge influx of players with the Force Awakens movie. And it only makes sense to release something that's maybe a little bit more, directly related to the reason why they came into the game. So another hook.
Mm-hmm.
We got tons of pilots. Let's go through those YT-1300 pilots, Alex.
Sure thing. So first up, we have the quintessential YT-1300 pilot, and that is Han Solo. He's still PS9. He will reportedly have a new pilot ability, and we do not know what that is yet. So could be cool. Probably be something a little gambling, since he is a gambling man with most things. Next up is Rey. She will be PS8, so not far behind Han in the piloting ability. Her pilot ability is when attacking or defending, if the enemy ship is inside your firing arc, you may reroll up to two of your blank results. And we know her point value will be 45 points. Next up is Chewbacca, PS5. He will also supposedly be getting a new pilot ability. And the last is a resistance something. The rest of the card is blocked off, and that will be at PS3.
The fact that Han and Chewie, we're going to have different abilities, I'm really curious about it. Han Solo's ability works really well in the meta in which he came out in. Really curious to see how they're going to kind of make the Millennium Falcon a little bit more viable.
well, that new title certainly will help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, actually, let's, I know it's not in order in our notes, but I think it's a good time to kind of run through it. So the new Millennium Falcon title is 1 point, just like the old Millennium Falcon title. So you kind of have your choice of what you want. And it says here, YT-1300 only. After you perform a three-speed bank maneuver, if you are not touching another ship and you are not stressed, you may receive one stress to rotate your ship 180 degrees. I mean, that's it's a sloop.
Yeah.
Is what it is, essentially. Which is awesome.
Yeah, and that gives the YT-1300 a huge boost of maneuverability. So yeah, this definitely gives the YT-1300 a lot more maneuverability than it previously had. With the 2400, it had a little bit of a better dial, but with this title, the 1300 could definitely fly with that one too.
Yeah, I'm excited because of the way it works. You know, you dial in that three bank, and you get to kind of see where that puts you. Oh, hey, the people who came before me, they're pointed in the other direction now. I thought I needed to run away. Never mind. Let's just turn that into a sloop.
Yeah, the may qualifier in this is huge. It's not a you have to do this. You're stuck with your decision. This is a, well, is this option better for me or is this option better for me? So that's huge.
Last episode, two episodes ago, we talked about how things that trigger in the same window, you can choose the order in which they happen. And this is huge if you put Kanan crew on and use this new Millennium Falcon title, because they both say after executing a maneuver. Kanan is the one that lets you remove a stress after doing a white move. Now, your three banks on the Millennium Falcon are white. So that means that you can do your three bank, and then after executing your maneuver, you can first trigger the title to flip yourself around, and then you trigger Kanan to remove the stress, which is awesome. I know that there's some debate about whether that's going to be still legal or not, but Fantasy Flight has been really consistent about those type of triggering windows, and anything that falls in that window, you can do in whatever order you want.
Absolutely. And I've not really seen too much of a good argument as to why that would not work.
Most of it's just like, no, man, that's broken. Like, come on, really? There's so many powerful abilities in the game. Everything's not broken. The other thing I'm really curious about is to see what's going to be the point cost on that resistance something or another.
Hopefully they have learned from the Outer Rim Smuggler. And we'll make it a little comparable to the rest of the ships that you can get at that pilot skill, because as we know, the contracted scout is very cheap for what you get with it. So hopefully we're not going to get another Outer Rim Smuggler that never sees play.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. The question I'm really curious is what's going to be the cost? PS3, and we know from kind of looking at the way that Fantasy Flight cost one extra attack die, and that's usually 12, right? 12 points for an attack die. So if we kind of extrapolate a little bit, Outer Rim Smuggler was 27 points. The 2 points of pilot skill is like one more point, so we get the 28. And then 28 plus 12 for one attack die, you're in the 40 range, right? Did I count that right?
Yeah, around there.
Around the 40. And then all the other stats come in. So I'm curious if this is going to, compared to the other pilots, going to look quote unquote undercosted, but kind of be undercosted on purpose. Like, hey, we want people to play this. So maybe they're nice and they lower that one attack die cost to maybe the 30 point range, somewhere around there.
Absolutely. With Rey knowing her point cost at 45, and you're dropping, you're dropping 5 pilot skill. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see it either at 40. I would be really surprised to see it more than, I don't know, 42. But I think, yeah, anywhere between that 38 to 40 range is where that resistance, I'll just call it resistance pilot, will fall in.
Yeah, awesome. All right, and then the other ship we're getting is that sweet custom painted black and orange one, and all of us that painted one will compare our repaints to that one and be like, oh man, I suck at painting.
Yeah, it's funny because I mean the whole painting community finally said we can stop painting Poe's now.
Yeah.
Once this article came out. Granted, I mean, FFG's models are spectacular. They are great right out of the box, but I've seen some fantastic hand-painted stuff. So it'll be a nice comparison. But this is definitely a cool thematic change where you get a custom T-70 that it's going to look unique on the board. So that's really cool. I like that a lot.
All right, so T-70 pilots, we have Poe coming in at PS9. His ability is exactly the same as old Poe. I don't know how should we separate, how are we separating old, just old Poe, new Poe?
Old and busted, new hotness.
Oh, there you go, old and busted, new hotness. I like it.
Yeah, it's gonna be cool. I mean, a lot of people were saying, you know, Poe definitely, based on what he did in the movies, should be not PS8. I think the bump up to PS9 is definitely worth it. It's going to open up a lot of his options competitively. He's not going to be just auto include veteran instincts. You're going to get a lot of different options with him, and I think it's definitely a welcome change for everybody who played Poe.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, in the movie, we see him, what is it, in that one scene, he like takes out 10 TIE fighters.
Yeah, it's crazy. You
know, like, yeah. And I think if I remember reading correctly, in the Star Wars universe, an ace pilot is somebody who takes down like 5 ships.
Something like that.
Something like that. 5, and he takes out 10, and, you know, I think he's pretty good. PS9, I think that's good. then we know 9 Numb. We're going to see him again. We don't know his abilities. PS7, you know, his ability. You zoom in, it says win. You do something if the something, you're something. So probably something along the lines of, like, when executing a maneuver, if the opponent maybe is in your arc, you get to do something. A lot of the new abilities kind of have that going. Then we have Snap Wexley, PS6, after something, 4-speed touch. Probably something along the lines of after executing a maneuver that's 4-speed and you're touching, maybe you can do something about the fact that you're touching. Maybe you can do like a barrel roll or disengage. You're not considered touching.
Yeah, that would make sense. I mean, I guess thematically with him in the movie, he found Starkiller Base and ran away.
Yep. He found it, ran away and said, hey, we're over here. Yeah. I don't know, have you right?
Yeah, his ability could be, you know, after a 4-speed maneuver, the opponent has a permanent target lock on you. I don't know.
And tries to blow up your base. Oh, man. All right. Then we have Jessica Pava. We don't really see the text, but we can extrapolate that from the little bit of text we see there and the X-Wing pilot we know from the movie. And it, you know, we read, win, you, each. I have no idea. I can't parse anything. Any guesses from that one?
I don't know. It could be something similar to Boba, where there's enemies within certain range. That would be the only thing I can think of. But yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. Like, when moving, you something.
Something for each enemy at range.
Yeah,
something similar to that, because that's the only comparable ability I can think of that's already in the game. So, yeah, that, I mean, stuff like this is really going to be guesswork until we actually get the more spoilers coming in.
And then we're getting another copy of your Red Squadron Veteran and Blue Squadron Novice.
Yep. So you'll have a couple more copies of that if you have a bunch of T-70s lying around.
Yeah. You know, all right. So now let's get to upgrades. Now,
this is the stuff that excites me the most.
Yeah, it's cool stuff. Now, let me say one thing. I'm excited but upset at the same time. So they're giving us 2 copies of integrated astromech in this one. But I was one of the guys who went and bought like 4 X-Wings. and I'm like, oh, well, I should have waited just a little longer.
Now they just saved you from buying 2 more.
There you go. So now, yeah, I just go straight and buy this pack.
First off, you see in the corner is Trick Blank. So I'm guessing it's going to be something like Trick Shots, or I don't know. I guess that's all I got right now.
Trick moves, trick pilot.
Yeah, something like that. The next one is snap blank, but the next word starts with an S, so it's probably going to be something like snapshot. Comes with two of those.
Yeah.
Now, this is the one that has a lot of people thinking. There's only one copy, and it starts with PR, and then the second word looks pretty much like thrusters. I'm thinking it's proton thrusters. A lot of people are saying prow thrusters, because that's another word for saying the fore of the ship. Prow is the front of the ship. Probably going to be something movement-related. Maybe something that can go on a T-65 to give it a talon roll, something like that. That'd be cool. Give them a little more maneuverability.
So we know that the prow, if it is prow thrusters, prow's the front of the ship, and if you were to put a thruster in the front of the ship and it were to blow on one side, it would turn your ship 90 degrees and give you that talon roll-esque maneuver. Something along the lines of saying, after executing a maneuver, rotate your ship 90 degrees.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
It could be a one-off, right? And maybe be like 1 point for like just doing that with no type of penalty for 1 point, or maybe 3 points and if it wasn't a one-off, and maybe like 2 points if you got a stress token every time you did it, something.
Yeah. Obviously, everybody's going to say if this is a modification, nobody's going to probably take this over integrated astromech, but it could still be something fun to throw in there, depending on the point cost and what kind of upgrade it is.
Yeah, if it doesn't give you a stress token, this could be super fun.
Oh, yeah,
with LO Asti, right? Yeah. If it doesn't give you stress, because you do like the white talon roll, and then you turn yourself again 90 degrees.
Yeah, you can end up completely almost where you were previously, and then if the enemy was following you or chasing you, you can just throw it on them.
And then some of the other cards we got here, we got some droid, M9, G8. Can't see anything there.
Yeah, other than he's unique, that's it.
And then we have the hot shot co-pilot. You see somebody in what looks like a gunner seat.
Yeah, it's in, you know, some sort of cockpit, so.
Yeah. We have Ray Crew, which we have no idea.
Nope.
And Finn Crew, which is also in some type of gunner seat.
Right. So I'm thinking he is going to be the Luke crew of this pack, since both of them were at some point gunners in the Falcon. So it could be something similar to Luke crew.
So maybe like during round three, your, you know, targeting system breaks. something along those lines.
Maybe. Yeah.
The other new hotness that was in here, everybody's freaking out about,
is
smuggling compartments. Modification YT-1300 and maybe 2400.
Yeah, the centering on the car definitely looks like it's allowing more space than just 1300. So.
Smuggling compartments, we pretty sure reads your upgrade bar gains the illicit upgrade, and then you may equip a second modification that costs 3 or fewer squad points. Now, the reason I think 3, you can't necessarily see the 3 in the picture, but with being able to take engine upgrade as well as an illicit, probably not a go. So that's why I think it's a 3.
Yeah, that's a good assumption. 3 keeps it out of the range of a lot of the good upgrades.
Some other possible, you know, I have never seen anybody take a missile on the Falcon because of the cost and inefficiency of missiles. But now we have guidance chips.
Yeah.
So for 0 points, because you do just, you know, you get here's another modification slot for 0 points. If you plan on using some type of missile, then go for it. And then with relating to burst of speed, which we'll get to in a minute, maybe advanced slam to really just get out of there. And then think about this. If you get that slam action, right, it's considered a maneuver. So if you did like a 3 forward, 3 bank, use the Falcon title, turn around.
Oh, jeez.
And know. Then you have...
I don't know if there's enough board for all that.
But it could really give you a totally new approach that your opponent wasn't expecting, because, you know, having that board positioning is huge.
Oh, yeah. That makes you completely unpredictable.
Yeah.
All right, on to the talked about burst of speed. This is my favorite upgrade card out of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So burst of speed, it looks like it says large ship only, and it's your action bar gains the slam icon, and then it looks like it reads after you perform a slam, discard the card, which most likely, I mean, it is an illicit card, so with a lot of illicit cards, you use once and then burn it. So with what you said with advanced slam, I don't know if that would be the best option, since if you do that, you're putting on advanced slam for a one-time use.
This is true. This is true.
Yeah. I mean, it's a cool idea. Don't know if it'll be worth it points-wise, but yeah, it's totally cool. All right, and then like Dion said, we got two more copies of Integrated Astromech, which is kind of making a little people more mad since we don't have a T-65 fix, which I do not believe that Integrated Astromech is the T-65 fix. I do believe we're going to get something more concrete in the future.
And I think one of the possibilities for a fix or at least an improvement, we're going to get there when we get to our Wave 9, which we'll get to in a couple minutes. But I think something in there could at least help the T-65.
Oh, yeah, totally. All right, so what do you think about this next card? I think it's pattern analysis, right?
Yeah, for sure. I don't see why not.
Yeah.
it makes sense. All right, so we know it's a tech, which is huge because we don't have very many tech options. And here's one that's actually probably usable by T-70, because I know I never use weapons guidance because it's a waste of points, in my opinion.
Yep.
Because you could just have target locked if you want, you know, to kind of avoid the blanks.
Yep. And then Red Ace uses comm relay all the time.
Exactly. So we get some options here. Anyway, what we're pretty sure it says is when executing something, probably a maneuver, you may resolve the check pilot stress after the perform action step instead of before. So what this means is that you actually get to do an action before you get the stress from doing a red maneuver.
Yep. So if you don't have a way of clearing your stress after a maneuver, say with Kanan or something like that, you can get your action in before you're stressed. So this is pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it's huge for Poe. Because, right, we know that Poe has to focus. Every turn, you're going to focus with Poe.
Because
of his ability. One of the problems I've always had with flying Poe is I'm always kind of scared and hesitant to do a K-turn or a Talon roll.
Yeah. Because it leaves him completely vulnerable. Yeah.
And if you have no way to pass him a focus token with other ships in your list, then you're building towards his ability, which sometimes that's not always the best idea when you're list building, to go towards one person's ability. If you get this on there, though, you can kind of give him some built-in insurance. Let's talk about the Black One title.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. So this is T-70 X-Wing only. It is, after you perform a booster barrel roll action, you may remove one enemy target lock from a friendly ship at range 1. You cannot equip this card if your pilot skill is 6 or lower.
If you're below pilot skill 6, don't touch my Black X-Wing.
Yeah.
You're not allowed. Don't crash my X-Wing. Yeah, so one of the themes in these packs that are upcoming, there's a lot of anti-Imperial Ace tech.
Yes.
Tons of it.
This is the anti-Omega Leader card.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Omega Leader, you know, is one of those things that most people, you either love Omega Leader because you fly her all the time, right? And you absolutely annoy everybody with your target lock. If you don't know, Omega Leader is a ship that if you put a target lock on somebody and they're attacking or defending against you, you don't get to modify your dice.
Yes, which is very annoying in the current meta of dice modifications.
Yeah, and then she puts Juke on and says, "Oh yeah, I'm going to change your evade to focus, and that focus token you can't use. So then you just kind of it's like a forever crack shot.
Yes.
So this Black One title says, "Yeah, Omega Leader, you know, you go suck my toe. You can't target lock me."
And I think what's really cool about this is it's not only just your ship; it's a ship at range 1. So if you're close enough to another ship that's being harassed by Omega Leader or a Vessery or something like that, you can do the action and take the target lock off them. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, I did about Vessery. I kind of laughed when I saw this because I'm thinking, oh man, Vessery has a hard counter, and it hasn't even we haven't even gotten Imperial veterans, yeah. And they've already made that hard counter to Vessery. Yeah, anything else that's target lock dependent, like Alpha Strikes, is going to suffer with this. I definitely think this Black One title. I know it says on there PS6 or lower cards can't take it, but you're going to definitely want to put this on Poe. Because anybody who does their action before Poe, if they target lock, they've basically wasted their action.
Yeah. So you're making them make a decision between, do I want to target lock and possibly lose it if he's going to boost, barrel roll? So you can definitely punish them for not taking a target lock or punish them for taking the target lock. It's a pretty cool upgrade.
Absolutely. And then if you are, you know, in that PS6, PS7 range and you put Black One title on there, not saying it's a bad idea, because what you do, if you had a target lock on you already, you force your opponent to reacquire it rather than possibly reposition or focus with their action. All right, so that's Heroes of the Resistance, and now let's just keep pushing on. Wave 9, this was, what is it now, like a week ago, we got Wave 9, the 2nd of June.
Yep.
They released the article, Stay in Attack Formation. One of the interesting things about the spoiling of Wave 9, the 1st of June, there were these leaked pictures from a presentation.
Yep.
Right? And
actually,
then,
no, wasn't it the same day? Wasn't it the day morning of, and then I think the leak made them put the article out?
Yeah, there you go. And that's it. I'm curious to know, is did they release the article because the leak happened?
I would think so. That was a pretty good leak. It wasn't just a kind of sketchy looking spreadsheet like we previously had. This was a pretty concrete kind of investors type of presentation. It was at the UK Games Expo. It was pretty legit looking, so I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they were already getting ready to put this out, but this definitely might have forced their hand.
Yeah, and about the spreadsheet, it put a little bit of faith in the internet for me when I found out that the spreadsheet was real. It's like, yes, affirmation.
Yeah, that was surprising to me because, I mean, as we'll talk about, we got a ship that I don't think anybody expected us to ever get in this game.
Absolutely. Let's just go straight forward. The Ark 170. If you're not familiar with the Ark 170, you probably have either not watched the prequels or you lock your memory of watching those movies far deep away in your conscience. So yeah, it's the clone trooper ship that kind of looks like an X-wing, but it has three wings on each side rather than two.
Yeah, so it has its actual main gun wings in between, I guess, what they're still called S-foils. So think of an X-wing just with an extra middle wing in between the X.
Mm-hmm. Now, we know that they gave us a title that kind of gives us a little bit of backstory on how this ship is possible in the Galactic Civil War era. But me personally, I would have no problem. Listen, now let me get it out. I would have no problem with Clone War era ships. I know that there's a million reasons why people just they say, I hate the prequels and I don't want anything to do with it. I understand that argument. I understand the argument of like, well, what faction do you put a clone trooper in? I know there's three movies that people, you know, maybe don't love, but that's three movies worth of really cool ships. I think that's like probably the coolest thing about it, right? There were these awesome ships kind of get wasted if we don't ever get anything from that era.
Yeah, and those are all valid points. I think I know why we're getting this and why. So previously, FFG has stated that they are never going to do prequel ships, which is kind of why this was such a surprise. But with the acquisition of Star Wars by Disney and the whole, you know, new canon versus old canon, this is kind of a new canon reasoning to why we're getting this ship. So I'm just going to jump ahead real quick to one of the upgrade cards. It's called Alliance Overhaul. And that basically means that the Alliance still use these old ships because when they first started making, you know, the Rebel cells to fight the Empire, they didn't have anything. They didn't have X-Wings. They didn't have Y-Wings. They started with scraps from the Clone Clone Wars. So that's basically, I'm assuming, why we're getting this ship. I can understand the hate against the prequels and stuff like that. I don't subscribe to that. I like the prequels. They're cool. My only issue with it is you have ships from way towards the end of the Galactic Civil War, such as the Decimator and the Phantom, and versus a Clone Wars era ARC 170. That's just a huge suspension of disbelief for me that this thing can actually, you know, fight toe to toe with something like that. That's my only issue. It's not huge. I'm not going to not say I hate 170s because of that. So that's my only thing.
Yeah, I get that. The timeline of the ship is something we just kind of have to deal with, right? Because we're going to get episodes 8 and 9. You know, there's going to be some new ships, and it's just what's going to happen. We're going to have ships, I guess, to date. That will be the Millennium Falcon is probably an older model than the ARC 170.
Most likely. I mean, I'm a lore nut. The YT-1300 is extremely old, and there's actually more of a time gap between, we'll say episode 6, we'll put it there. There's more of a gap between episode 6 and episode 7 than the Clone Wars and A New Hope. I think it's 35 years between episodes 6 and 7, and only about 20, if that, between 3 and 4. So, I mean, it's definitely more of a suspension of disbelief to think that the Force Awakens ships wouldn't just overpower everything, but that's kind of how the Star Wars universe is with its technology.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, let's give a rundown of the ARC 170.
All right, you want to go for it?
Yeah, so we know it's a small base ship. Natively has 2 attack, 1 agility, 6 hull, and 3 shields. The actions are target lock and focus. We know that at least 2 of them have EBTs, maybe all of them, because they're...
No generic pilots. That's a big thing.
Exactly, yep. So maybe they all have EBTs. We know they have a torpedo slot, a crew slot, and an astromech slot, which is the first ever combination of crew and astromech. And then we have a front and rear auxiliary arc. I'm super excited to fly the ARC 170 because of that rear arc.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. For a small base ship, depending on its dial, you might not even have to put a ship in your front arc. You can always be kind of on the edge of the fight and just putting pot shots out. Kind of like a fire spray. So that'll be pretty cool.
This is another piece to the puzzle of the anti-ace tech. Auto thrusters are fantastic. It's one of the best cards in the game. We have a ship now that has two options of getting somebody in arc. And if you get somebody in arc at one, range 1 to 2, those auto thrusters don't matter.
Yep.
Then our pilots, like we said, they're all unique. The PS3 is Braille... something. You wouldn't by any chance know the name.
It doesn't ring a bell for me. No. But like I said, if we're going into the new canon stuff, it might be someone completely new.
Yeah, that's very true. PS4, Tran or Than, something or another. And then the two that we do know, PS6, Shara Bay. She's 28 points, and we know for sure she has an EPT. She is the mother of our favorite Poe Dameron. And her ability, if we zoom in on that card... we see it says, when another friendly ship at range 1 to 2 is attacking, it may treat your blue target lock tokens as its own.
That's pretty cool, because you're saving action economy on the rest of your squad, because they don't need to take target locks as long as you have one.
Absolutely. I mean, that works for Alpha Strikes, and I think the first crew, immediately as I saw this, was Weapons Engineer. That went into my head, right?
Yeah.
Weapons Engineer, you may maintain 2 target locks, and anytime you acquire a target lock, you can lock onto 2 different ships. I mean, that's because you're like, hey, buddy, I'll take a target lock for you. Don't worry about that. You focus. That way you have a target lock focused attack. And then Nora Wexley, which both of these work really well together. Go ahead and read that one down.
So she's PS7. 29 points EPT. Let me pull, because I can't see the picture very well. Okay, when attacking or defending, you may spend a target lock you have on the enemy ship to add 1 focus result to your roll. So that's pretty much synergistic within the pack.
Yep, you buy 2 of these, you roll them together, you have Shara get the target lock, you have Nora focus, and you have a target lock focus attack with up to 4 dice, right, at range 1 to 2.
Yep.
which is awesome. You get into range one, that could be five dice, target lock focus, which is awesome. You might be wondering, well, how four and five dice? That comes with our title card.
Oh, you're talking about the Alliance overhaul?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So it's Arc 170 only. When attacking with a primary weapon from your primary firing arc, you may roll one additional attack die. When attacking from your auxiliary firing arc, you may change one of your focus results to a crit.
Yes, please.
Yeah, so that's pretty crazy. It's benefiting you from just getting anyone in an arc.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, bye-bye auto thrusters. And by the way, I'm more accurate than I used to be in arc.
Yeah, so if you've noticed, if you've been paying attention to a lot of these upgrades lately, it's a lot of in-arc stuff. So recently with Wave 8, we got Dengar's pilot ability is when he's defending. If the attacker's in his arc, he gets the shot back. Rey's pilot ability is if they're in arc, she gets a whole ton of rerolls on attack and defense. And then we have with the Arc 170 getting bonuses from both primary and auxiliary arcs. So I think the game is definitely going towards more of arc and arc dodging oriented.
Definitely. We're going back to, I think, the original intent of the game. The game's more about flying rather than running away and shooting a turret.
Yes, and I think TLT's definitely made a lot of people forget about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not a fan of TLT. But that's a whole other day. We'll talk about that. We talked about our minivan, the Arc 170, and let's take a look at the upgrades here. We know we're getting two R3 astromechs. We know that they're not unique, so who knows? We'll see how good they are. We do have a lot of those astromechs that we don't use that often. Actually, and you know what? Talking about astromechs we don't use that often. Let me back up here. Going back to Shara Bay and her ability, the combo of astromech and weapons engineer. One droid that I have never seen played, but I think could have a home on her, is R7T1. R7T1 reads, as an action, choose an enemy ship at range 1 to 2. If you are inside that ship's firing arc, you may acquire a target lock on that ship. Then you may perform a free boost action. So, that does a couple things for you. Now, you do have to meet the criteria of having a ship in range 1 to 2 and you being in their firing arc. You get that target lock. If you have weapons engineer, you get a second target lock. Now, here's the thing. That first target lock you acquire has to meet that criteria of range 1 to 2 and in arc, okay? But that second target lock does not. You're just getting, you just acquire a second target lock because of the weapons engineer's text. So that's any ship within range 3, 360 degrees, you're getting that second target lock. So you're opening up your offensive options. And then you have the boost, which can let you either arc dodge, get into better shooting position to either shoot the person you originally target locked or somebody else. I mean, you have tons of options there, and you're getting triple action economy, two target locks and a boost.
Plus any target locks you don't need to take with the rest of your squad. So this is pretty big, and like you said, I've never seen this droid before. So
yeah. I know when day one we get wave 9, I'm going to try this out just because I want to fly a different droid that's not R2-D2 or BB-8.
True. Yep. And that saves you points, too, because Arc 170 doesn't naturally have a boost, so you don't have to worry about, oh, do I want to throw an engine upgrade on it? And with the recent FAQ, you can reacquire target locks. So that's pretty, I mean, you just get a target lock to do a boost. That's pretty cool.
Yep. So, yeah, if you've just been following a ship, you just do it again. All right, so yeah, let's go back to our other upgrades. We get an Adrenaline Rush EPT. We've gotten that before, but we're going to get another copy. For some reason, they think Adrenaline Rush will be good on this. Now, it makes me a little nervous because that probably means that it has a lot of red maneuvers.
Right, and that's what a lot of people have been guessing. They think that this dial is going to be very similar to either a B-wing or maybe a Y-wing. So yeah, I'm not too hopeful about the dial.
I would be happy if like it had green banks, one banks and green one forward, maybe a green two forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's got the two. You see in the picture, it does have a two bank, so having a two forward green isn't too far out of the question.
Is the I'm not looking at that picture right now. Is the two bank green?
Yes.
Okay, so hey, maybe we get ones and two banks that are green, one and two straights that are green, and everything else is red.
Oh, no whites, none whatsoever.
So no BB8. That's an interesting one. I wonder if anybody, depending on the number of greens, if BB8 would be viable on the ship.
Potentially, and if it does have any decent whites, it is a potential candidate to throw Kanan on. Get rid of stress. Yeah,
that's true. Very true. Very nice. All right, we're gonna get another copy of Recon Specialist, and then Tail Gunner. We see a Rebel pilot sitting in that back seat, pew-pewing. Probably a gunner effect. I mean, they literally put gunner in the title. I don't know.
Yeah, you can't see a whole lot. It is limited, so that's a pretty good indication that's going to be similar to our other gunners.
Yep.
It's probably going to be something just involving the auxiliary arc, since it is your tail gunner, so it's probably going to promote shooting out that rear arc.
Maybe like a reroll on one dice or something?
Yeah, potentially.
Because you're already changing a focus to a crit if you have the, because you're going to put the title on. That's auto included.
Yeah, I mean, it's 0 points. There's no reason not to.
Yeah. So maybe a reroll. I could see that, since you're kind of getting a marksmanship-esque ability with the title.
Right.
And then we have what I'm pretty sure says vector thrusters as a modification.
Yeah, that's my thought on it too. That's what it looks like.
We're parsing from the text we can read that your action bar gains the barrel roll action.
Yep, and that's small ship only. I don't know, it almost doesn't look centered in the card. I think there might be something else after small ship only. But yeah, I mean, this is gonna be cool for those small ships that don't have easy access to a barrel roll. A lot of people are saying, you know, this is gonna be a good thing on a T-70, potentially based on the point cost. I can't see this going more than 2 or 3 points. I mean, 4 would be a little ridiculous. But yeah, I mean, you're gonna fall into that same argument of, is this a worthwhile modification to take for a T-65 over integrated astromech? So it's,
I think it could be, depending on the cost. I think if it's 1 point, it's, I think, a 50-50 shot. Do you want to be more survivable, or do you want to have more of a chance to shoot somebody? Because I know one of the big issues is with T-65s is if you're not the best at guessing where your opponent's going to be, and they just go in a totally opposite direction, or you were off a little bit, and they have repositioning like boost and barrel roll, and the X-Wing has nothing. So you could be pointed... You know, you're like, oh, hey, so close. If I had a barrel roll, I can get them in my arc. But never mind, because I blew the T-65.
Yeah, I definitely think a lot of the more veteran players that are comfortable with the T-65 dial are definitely going to probably take vector thrusters over integrated astromech.
For sure. And then we see something SE torpedo, and it says action.
Yeah, so that's pretty crazy for an action torpedo, and it definitely has a lot of text to go along with it as well. Something about choosing target range 1, primary firing arc range 1, and then hit to crit, I think.
If I fly a T-65, I never put a torpedo on it.
Absolutely not.
But this is one of those where it would make me consider, again, possibly another anti-ace tech. If you are flying your PS2 rookie pilot T-65, and you can get all up in Sunterfell's face, and in during the activation step, fire torpedo at him before he has any tokens, that can be huge.
Yeah, I can definitely see a kind of resurgence of good Rebel upgrades coming in Wave 9.
That covers the Arc 170. What's our next ship?
The next ship, which this is going to be a favorite of mine, is the Special Forces TIE expansion. So this is pretty much expected. This is going to be the TIE that Poe and Finn broke out of the First Order Star Destroyer out of. So this one has the rear arc.
Similar stats to the T-70 X-Wing. Native has 2 attack, but we'll talk about how we can get that to 3 in a minute. 2 agility, 3 hull, 3 shields. Actions are focus, target lock, and barrel roll. You can't have a TIE fighter without barrel roll. A sensor slot, which is pretty huge. A missile slot, and a tech slot. We got two unique pilots, two generic pilots, and as we previewed, it has a front and rear auxiliary arc.
So we have a pilot skill 3, looks like Zeta something. You know, all these new ties have Zetas and Omegas and all this other stuff. PS.
Yeah, we're eventually going to run out of Greek letters.
Yeah, Greek letters and ranks, because we have leaders, aces, we have everything under the sun. PS5 is Omega, and PS7 looks like Backstabber?
Backdraft,
okay. His ability is pretty well covered. Don't really know what it is. It says when something, you something. It's pretty short. And then this is going to be the cool one. PS9, quick draw. Once per round, when you lose a shield token, you may perform a primary weapon attack. How do you feel about that one?
It just begs for shenanigans.
Absolutely
begs for shenanigans. This has been around the forums. You're going to see this one a lot. You take electronic baffle on it. You use electronic baffle to clear a stress that you just acquired. During the activation step, you lose a shield. And then, again, you try to attack one of those really dodgy aces, but during the activation step, before they got to move, especially if you take adaptability and go down.
Exactly, that's what I was going to say, because he's PS9, so he's in that realm of aces, so he's going to have to definitely bump himself down if he wants to achieve that combo.
I know some of the questions about that combo of using electronic baffle is we don't know what the dial looks like. Now, there has been something going around, I don't know if you've seen it, Alex.
I did.
Where somebody says, I think this is the Thai Special Forces dial. There's tons of red.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in the camp that was fake. There was just a lot of circumstances on that poster where a lot of people were saying it was fake, and then he deleted that post and came back with another one that looks slightly different. So even within the realm of the game, there's really no reason for this to have a worse dial than a Thai FO, since this is essentially the same chassis. It just has upgrades on it.
Well, I think, isn't the ship bigger? Like slightly bigger TIE fighter?
You know, I'm not 100%. I mean, it is bigger in the cockpit, obviously, to house two people in it. But overall shape of, like, the solar panels and stuff, I don't think it's any bigger.
It's a TIE fighter that ate too many cheeseburgers. It's just a couple. But that's okay. We love them all. We love all the TIE fighters.
Yep. And then, before I forget, quick draw is 29 points. So that's the highest point value. So of all these ships, you're probably looking to the 23 to 29 range, starting from the bottom.
Yeah. Let's jump to the title.
Yeah. Title is pretty cool. It is Special Ops Training, TIE SF only. When attacking with your primary weapon from your primary arc, you may roll one additional attack die. If you do not, you may perform an additional attack from your auxiliary firing arc. This card alone sets up all the shenanigans for quick draw.
You could get up to 4 shots.
Yeah. It's crazy. This is when I first initially saw his pilot ability, I'm like, okay, that's the opposite of Red Ace. Because Red Ace gets the shield. When he loses a shield, he gets the evade. This guy loses a shield and just gets to take it out on somebody.
Yeah, how dare you take my shield? Barrel roll is going to be a huge, huge thing for this ship, right? So if you can get into that position where you have somebody in front of you and behind you, and if you can barrel roll somehow and get at least one of them into range one, I think you're ready to go. And it could have that kind of Dengar effect where some people don't shoot Dengar so that his ability doesn't go off.
Oh, yeah, just for the purpose so he can't shoot. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And you know what? I play Dengar quite a bit. I'm okay with that because it's like, it's okay. Hey, you're letting me live longer, and I'm just going to keep shooting you.
It's a way of mitigating damage almost.
Yep.
Yeah, so, I saw a diagram of someone when this first was initially released. I saw a diagram of someone throwing this ship basically parallel on – this is on Vassal. He threw it up parallel to a large base ship. And if you're in range one, you can pretty much clip the ship with both your arcs. So that's going to be
really?
Yeah. Yeah, you can pretty much clip them right on the corners. As long as you're maybe just within range one. You can clip them on both arcs. So that's pretty crazy.
That's awesome.
And I I'm going to tell you, good pilots are going to take advantage of that.
Oh, absolutely. And again, with the barrel roll that you can move your ship back and forth, you can find that sweet spot where you get the arc on both edges of their base.
Absolutely.
More shenanigans. It's going to be great.
Why don't you talk about the rest of the upgrades?
Yeah, so we're going to get a copy of Wired, and then we're going to get a new system slot called Collision Detector. We can't read all the text, but from what we have wind performing something, barrel roll, blank ship at M blank can overlap blank with the letter R damage. So kind of where I'm thinking this is going, when performing a barrel roll action, if your ship would like overlap, you can maybe like take a damage to still place your ship there.
Yeah, but that just was like, my thoughts.
Yeah, something like similar what we do when we bump, you kind of like, okay, it would have been here, and you slide it back across the template until it fits.
Yeah.
Something along those lines. See, the problem I have with that is a collision detector, and then you're taking a damage.
Yeah, it is. I don't know. It's an odd title, if that is in fact what it does.
Exactly. So I would think it would help you, maybe something along the lines of, it has that barrel roll word in there. So originally when I saw the title, I thought it might be something along the lines like, after executing a maneuver, if you're touching somebody, do a barrel roll afterwards. That way you're not touching.
Right.
But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what it says.
Yeah, because, I mean, with the rules of the game, if you're touching someone after a barrel roll, you can't do it. So there's no real... I mean, you're not being damaged for taking a barrel roll when you're touching someone now. So it's kind of odd. It's definitely odd.
Yeah. Then we get another tech. We have no idea what it says. We have S E and C L U. C clues.
I think it is sensor cluster. In the picture you can see the white of the TIE solar panels, and one of the, this is another lore drop, one of the upgrades over a TIE FO with the special forces, it does have advanced sensors. So I'm going to go with sensor cluster.
Okay, he's calling it. He's calling it. All right, and we see some text on there. It says, when defending, you may spend something to change results. So another way to improve probably either your defense or your offense, more modification for your dice.
Yeah, I think this is going to be like reverse juke, maybe. Maybe change a hit to a blank or something like that. Which would it would make it better than juke technically, but yeah, that might be too good depending on its point cost. So wait a second. Actually, what you were speaking to with the tie with that supposed leaked dial, that Wired has me worried.
Yeah, exactly. Red.
Yeah.
Red, because they're telling like, hey, you're gonna need modification because you're gonna be stressed a lot.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that's not the case. I'm hoping they made that dial because Wired was there and not the other way around.
Yeah, we'll find out soon. All right, so yeah, that's the rundown for the TIE Special Forces. The next one is probably the ship that has me the most excited.
Now, do you watch Rebels?
I do.
Okay, so you're gonna be more up on this than I am, because I haven't gotten past season one.
It's good.
I know. I just haven't had the time.
yeah. It's good. I really like Rebels. There's the kiddie episode here and there, but there's some good stuff in there. Anyway, so it's labeled the Protectorate Fighter. It's a Mandalorian ship. This is Scum's chance to have a maneuverable ace type ship, because you know they released the M3A interceptor that was a dud. It's not maneuverable at all. Not very maneuverable.
It has no redeeming qualities, really.
Exactly. Then we got the Star Viper, and it just costs way too much.
Before we start, tell our listeners, how many pilot cards come with this?
Six.
That's a lot.
That is. I mean, usually we get four, right?
I was going to ask, as far as I know, there hasn't been a pack that has six different pilots in it, right?
No, yeah, not in one pack, because like we have a bajillion.
I know the aces packs. Yeah, the aces packs and the ties, but not in a single pack.
No, not in one of these blister packs. Yeah, so six pilots. So we're gonna get a huge range of point costs in this. It's a small base ship. It has three attack, three agility, four hull, and no shields. Actions are focus, target lock, barrel roll, and boost. We know that at least one of them has an EPT slot, but the only other slot it has is a torpedo slot. And, of course, the modification and title.
Yeah, but so this doesn't really have a whole lot of upgrade options that we know of right now.
Exactly. One thing to note, it is a scum ship, but there's no illicit in there.
Right, and I think that goes along with, I mean, the Mandalorians weren't necessarily scum. Mm-hmm. They were their own government and everything, but I think this just goes along with the faction better than, obviously, either Rebels or Imperials.
We have six pilots. We get a PS1, Zealous, something or another. We get PS3, Concord, blank, PS5, Concord, blank something else. Then PS6 is where we start getting our named pilots. We have Cad Bolas, and we can see some of his ability. It says there, after you execute a red maneuver, assign a number. I'm guessing it's two focus tokens, because it does say tokens, to your ship. And then there's more text that you need to follow in order to make this proc. Then we have a PS7 old something or another, and it has a pilot ability. We can't read all of it, and it says at the U range, it discard. So I don't know. Maybe if you're at range something, you can maybe discard somebody else's card.
That seems a little too powerful. I think it might be a token.
I got excited a little bit because, you know, Boba Fett was a Mandalorian,
right?
So instead of going on and throwing the Emperor out, he gets to jump on your ship and take your focus or evade or something like that away. So I think that could be cool, his PS7. And then PS9, the one that was spoiled, and we can read all his text, is Fen Rao. He's 28 points. We know he has an EPT, and it says, when attacking or defending, if the enemy is at range 1, you may roll 1 additional attack die. So that means when you're in range 1, you get to Talon Bane Cobra somebody and throw 5 dice. But without being Talon Bane Cobra.
Yeah, you won't disintegrate.
Exactly. Now, Alex, why won't we disintegrate?
I'm assuming you're leading on to the title.
Yes.
Okay, let me pull that up real quick, because that one's pretty blurry on the picture. So let me look at the notes. All right, Concord Dawn Protector. It's 1 point. When defending, if you are inside the attacker's firing arc and at range 1, and the attacker is inside your firing arc, add 1 evade result.
Yeah, so, you know, you're being rewarded for getting all up in somebody's face. In this wave, we have 3 other ships that have auxiliary firing arcs or arcs in different places. This is not necessarily jousting somebody, going face to face. You could be behind somebody, too.
Yeah,
so you're getting that, bonus.
This is definitely continuing the theme of this wave of arcs and who's in whose arc, and I'm liking where this is going.
I love being able to throw that 5 dice. I think that's awesome. And if you've done a good job of setting this up, you can get them a target lock the turn before, and then you can swing into that range 1 and have that focus token and get that free evade with that 5 dice. You can really put the pain on somebody.
Yeah, this is definitely Scum's TIE Interceptor. It's actually a little beefier. It has 1 extra hull. But with the actions and the stat line, this is definitely an Interceptor class better than the actual M3A Interceptor. So I definitely am liking what Scum's getting with this ship.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see what the dial is, because we really need a ship with a hard turn that's green.
Yeah, that's definitely what this ship can use. So in the picture, it shows a 2K turn, which is really cool. And then it also has the information card for Talon Roll. So,
yep, so we know it has some shenanigans there.
Yeah, if this thing has like a 2 Talon Roll, that'd be really cool. Or just the standard 3. Either way, that it so far has a pretty maneuverable dial. It just needs a good way of clearing stress.
If it has a 2 green turn, like that would be cool. I think, though, it would be a little different if they made it a 3 hard turn that's green. Because I don't think we've seen that in the game.
Let's see. No, the Defenders is white. Dashes is white. Yeah, I mean, you might be right on that.
Yeah, so that could be cool. You do that 3-hard turn. That just gives you, you know, a little bit different positioning. You do have the boost and barrel roll. And then if we do have that hard turn that's green, I think it's a great chassis for push to limit, just like we do on our Imperial Interceptors.
Yep.
And you get all those actions.
How about that EPT?
This is going to be cool. We know it's like fearless or fearlessness something. This is like the one, the only, you're only getting two upgrade cards in this, but this upgrade card might make it worth it. Go ahead and read it down.
So you can't see a whole lot. It's EPT, it's fearless or fearlessness, something along those lines. Scum only. What we can gather is when attacking inside arc range, defender firing, and then there's one hit result. So
yeah,
further continuing the arc theme.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's something along the lines of rewarding you for being inside of the defender's arc, just like the having a very similar cost as the Concord Dawn Protector, where you have to be in that range one, all up in somebody's arc in their face. But one of your rolls is going to be maybe automatically a hit.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that would be cool. Or because we don't have all this, it could also be canceling a hit off of your defender. Because there is, let's say, defender, and I guess no.
It could be if you are the defender. But no, then it would be when attacking. No, it wouldn't. No, I wouldn't say. Yeah, that doesn't make much sense.
No, never mind. Scratch that.
So what? Yeah, do you...
Something.
No, go ahead.
No, you go first.
I was going to say, what do you think about this spoiler of this having so few upgrade cards? Do you think it's not going to have that many in the actual pack, or they just don't want to show us?
I think because we're getting 6 pilots, I think they don't have any more cards to give us.
Yeah, I mean, with this upgrade bar consisting of just an EPT and a torpedo, I don't think they can give us a whole lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those, I think, where they're saying, hey, here's the ship you need. You got all the cards already that you need from the other ships. Like, this is your scum TIE interceptor minus the Royal Guard title. Basically, anything you would put on that ship, put it on here, and you're going to be good to go. I think that's why we're not getting, you know, auto thrusters and, you know, push the limit inside of it.
Yeah, I definitely think we have auto thrusters is probably going to be an auto include on this.
Mm-hmm. And then the fourth ship that we got is the Lancer class pursuit craft. Give us a rundown on that one.
This one's pretty cool. So it is a large base ship, and I do mean large. This thing is, I mean, judging by the size, it looks to be almost as wide as the Ghost, but it's as flat as a pancake. But the ship model looks absolutely massive. So the stat line is 3 attack, 2 agility, 7 hull, and 3 shields. And we have 4 different pilots to choose from. Can't really see the first one very well. It's Shadow something. Shadow Protector.
Before we get into the pilots, one thing I did notice, okay, because I took screenshots of right when it came out of the presentation one, and I took screenshots when I got when we saw the article first.
Spoiled. Oh, I know where you're going with this.
I don't know if people noticed, but the ships that they spoiled, there were some ships taken out and added.
Yeah, so in the two different releases. The pilots' names changed.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was very weird.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, you know, probably what happened is in their original release, they had their old pilots say, oh, hey, we've updated it. One of the things we did see updated is that we got Sabine. That's the first one that was that this right away. I think it's probably a late addition. They said, hey, would it be cool if Sabine crossed factions? And they either got permission from Disney or something and say, hey, let's do it.
Now, did she pilot this ship at any point in Rebels?
We don't. I'm trying to remember. I don't think we see her pilot it, or maybe we see her as a gunner on the ship.
Okay.
Because what happens is the we'll jump ahead a little bit. The PS7 Ketsu Onto is her is a friend of hers. They're like sisters.
Right, and they met at the academy or something like that, right?
Well, they wanted to be their like life goal was to be a part of Death Watch.
Got it.
They wanted to be a part of Death Watch, so they were working together and, you know, training and stuff like that, and they had a falling out along the way. But yeah, so that's that. One really interesting thing with the pilots that we actually see and before, and the ones that are before, I'm curious to see, they did have unique pilots in there. Does that mean that those pilots, where, I'm curious to know where those pilots came from. Some of the ones that were taken out was the PS2 now, like you said, was a Shadow Pro something, maybe like Shadow Protector,
yeah,
or something like that. But originally it was Black Sun something.
Right. And then for those that don't know, Black Sun is the cartel, basically, of the Star Wars universe. So I wonder if they're making this more of a Mandalorian ship or, you know, who knows?
One of the other ones, a unique one that was taken out, was some pilot that starts with an O, and it did have an ability. So when the ship acquires something, we don't know the rest of it. But I find it really interesting that they had some pilots. They even had unique pilots with abilities already made that just got pulled out. We'll probably see them later. That might just mean that we have a chassis very similar to this coming in a later wave.
Yeah, I mean, that all goes hand in hand with game development. Ideas get scrapped, changed, added. And, I mean, the game developers are completely different than the guys who make the article. So that could have been just something old that was completely scrapped. We might never, ever see it again. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's talk about our PS5 pilot, Sabine.
So, Sabine, when defending against an enemy ship inside your mobile firing arc at range 1 to 2, you may add one focus result to your roll. So that's something brand new to the game, mobile firing arc. And I didn't go over the actions of the ship, so let's segue into that. So the ship has focus, target lock, evade, and then a brand new action. It looks like a circle turning. So on the ship base, you see, and you can also see this in the actual pictures of the ship at the UK Games Expo. So, you know, normally when you put your ship together, you got the base and you got the cardboard base that goes on top of it, and then you got your pegs. So it looks like there's a new piece that goes in between the peg and the cardboard base, and it looks like a little arrow that you can spin around and turn. So what a lot of people are thinking is that action, you can actually change the orientation of your arc to side to side, left to right, you know, keep it toward the front. So this is another thing that goes along with the whole arc dodging, keeping things in your arc theme of this wave. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, one thing I'm curious to see now, I think it's probably going to be one of these where if you have your mobile firing arc pointed to the right, that means you could shoot to your front, in your front arc and the right.
Yes,
but it would be kind of crazy if they said, no, wherever that's pointing, that's the only place you could shoot.
No, I think that's why they're kind of classifying it as mobile firing arc. I think they would just say primary firing arc and then leave out that highlighted part of your cardboard base of your main. I think they would just leave it segmented as it is.
Yeah, and when we see this ship used in Star Wars Rebels, the mobile firing arc is a really cool way to show the ship, the center part. I don't know if you're looking at the picture. You see how it's silver, kind of looks like a saucer? Mm-hmm. You actually see it spin.
Oh, it's really cool.
Depending on where the pilot wants to shoot, that whole top part spins. So I think it's really cool, really thematic how they were able to build that into the game.
Okay, and then our PS6, that looks like a Saz Ventress. Mm-hmm. Can't really see her ability. It's something probably at the start of some phase. If you are range 1-2, that's about it. That's all you can really gather.
Yeah, I'm wondering. Okay, we know that she was a Sith apprentice, right? Yep. So probably since she's force sensitive, something to do with focus. I mean, we know a lot of our force sensitive pilots and crew in X-Wing have something to do with focus.
Poe.
Maybe.
Poe.
I come on, Jedi Knight Poe Dameron, please. Anyway, I digress. So maybe she has some type of focus ability. And then the old PS6 one was going to be Vict Victor something. I don't know what it was, but that's gone. That doesn't matter. what's the PS7 one?
As you said, Ketsu Onto, at the start of the combat phase, you may choose a ship at range 1. If it is inside your primary and mobile firing arc, assign 1 tractor beam token to it. That is pretty huge.
That's awesome. I mean, I know when I fly her, I'm just going to keep that thing in the front and just try to, depending on the dial, we need to see what the dial looks like. But if it has some sloops in there and maybe a couple of cool greens, I think she's going to be really fun to play with.
So in the picture, it shows its dial and it has a 3 green bank. So
that's
pretty good. And with Ketsu's pilot ability, since it does say primary and mobile firing arc, I think that's a pretty good evidence that they're going to be completely separate. So you can shoot out the front or wherever the mobile's pointed at.
Small tangent. I'm curious to see how that mobile firing arc, the cardboard piece, is going to work on the base. I'm curious to know how they're going to keep it tight so it doesn't just go flopping everywhere.
Well, it looks like it fits in, like, because you know how it has those little slots where you're supposed to put your ID tokens? It mm-hmm. looks like it fits under that, but yeah, it would be kind of odd for it to spin that way. But on an even another tangent going on to that, so for I'm sure what more of the veteran players know, the bases aren't exact squares. They're more akin to rectangles. They just look like squares. So the side arcs are actually wider than the front and the back arcs.
Yep.
So you're probably going to be using this to do broadsides and stuff like that, because you can cast a wider arc on the sides.
Because they're pirates.
Yep.
So they have to do broadsides. All right. Some of our upgrades. We're going to get a copy of Veteran Instincts. They're saying, hey, you want Ketsu to be PS9 maybe? Maybe that's why you got that?
Yeah, that goes along with his ability pretty good. You want to know where everybody's at before you change.
Yeah, and on top of that, you want to be able to assign that tractor beam token at the highest PS possible. That way you get best economy out of it. Then we're going to get black sun slicer.
Yeah, that's probably what it's going to be.
Two of those. It's an action something. We don't know if it's a EPT or a crew. Probably a crew, but it's an action one. Enemy ships roll something, hit and crit.
Yeah, so there's another lore thing. Slicers in Star Wars universe are basically what they call hackers. So I think this is going to be some sort of action to mess with your opponent. That's why, you know, you're rolling a die. So that's going to be a cool option.
Okay. I like that. Maybe if you have them in a certain range, you roll a dice and, like, lower their agility. You know, in the article, they did mention something about being able to have your enemy keep tractor beam tokens.
Really?
I wonder if you read through the article, I wonder if this is it right here. You're hacking their system, and normally when you would toss that tractor beam token at the end of the combat phase.
Oh yeah. So yeah, it says force your opponents to suffer the lingering effect of tractor beam tokens that are not removed during the end phase.
Yeah, that could be it. I think that's a possibility there.
All right, next one. This is going to be pretty cool. Go for it.
Yeah, we're getting an IG-88 crew card. In the article, they talk about being able to get those IG-88 abilities. I'm curious to know how this is going to work. If this is going to be like IG-88B or...
I think it mentions in the article IG-2000.
Okay. IG-2000. I'm curious to know how this is going to work. Is it going to have all four abilities on there? Or maybe it's one of those where it gives you an option to fly in only one aggressor. Because you almost never see a single aggressor because you want to get that robot ability. Right. Is this basically that IG-2000 card that you put on the title card, but as a crew?
Potentially. I think it's going to be something sharing the ship that he's crewed on ability. I think that could be pretty cool.
That could be really cool. Absolutely. I know a lot of people are excited for that one. Then we're getting a Ketsu, the Ketsu Onyo crew card. We don't know what it says. Something on there. Go ahead. Give me some of the other ones.
So we got Lats Razi. Scum only, all you can see is when defending, you may receive one. Oh, no, you may remove one stress, and it stops right there.
Yeah, I'm curious to know if it's going to be some type of, like, maybe, like, Key and Farlander ability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she might find a place on a slaver, you know, YV666, something like that. Yeah.
I love all the scum crews. You just put the party bus as
yeah,
it has been dubbed.
Yeah, the scum crews are fantastic.
And then the next card that we see there, I'm pretty sure it says rigged cargo. Yeah. It's an illicit. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about this. So it says it's a large base only, and as an action, discard this card and drop a debris field.
Yeah, so that's another thing you see in the spoiler picture. There's a new type of debris field token. It looks like it's dropped very similar to a bomb. It has the two little nubs at the top of it, so you'll probably deploy it just like you would a bomb. It looks pretty wide. It looks like almost the whole width of a large base ship. Not as quite as tall, though, so it looks like it's maybe, if you're going by ship length, it looks like it's maybe one ship length tall by two ship lengths wide.
This is awesome, especially with, we kind of missed this, with the Lancer pursuit craft. It has two illicit slots.
Yes.
So, you know, depending on the cost of this, which we don't know that, it would definitely be a really cool option as a second illicit slot.
Yeah.
Then we're getting two tactical jammers. We're going to get a copy of Countermeasures and then the Shadowcaster title. It says, Lancer class pursuit craft only. After you perform an attack that hits, if the defender is in your mobile firing arc and at range 1 to 2, you may assign the defender one tractor beam token.
Yes, so if you pair this up with Ketsu, you can be giving them multiple tokens per turn.
Yeah, double tractor beam. Let me look up the tractor beam rules card. Is it only the first tractor beam token that makes you do the barrel roll?
You can only move a ship once per round. Any consecutive tokens just further reduces the agility.
Okay, there you go. So you only get to move them once, but I mean, still reducing anybody's agility by two is huge. Big portion of the ships in X-Wing only have one or two agility.
Yeah.
So you're basically canceling. If you get both of these off, you're canceling out the agility, and it's your dice and just trying to get the most efficient attack you can get.
Absolutely. There is one upgrade card. It looks like it's gyro targeting, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Lancer craft only. Can't really see a whole lot. At the end of something phase, something involving 3, 4, 5 speed this round, your blank. So I don't know. Something that involves maybe moving at the end of... No, it's probably at the end of the activation phase. If you did a 3, 4, 5... Maybe you can get a free mobile arc action. Who knows?
Yeah, something along those lines. I mean, we've got so much coming. It's awesome because we're waiting for Imperial Veterans to drop. Heroes of the Resistance is coming, and then Wave 9. Now, a lot of people are looking at what's said in the article, something along third quarter of 2016. I don't believe it.
I'm hoping that after the fiasco that was Wave 8, they've hopefully tightened up their shipping and production, but who knows?
So I would say if we look at Wave late, if it's supposed to come on third quarter, that's like September, right? September, October?
Yes.
All right, so then plus 4 months in, January, February of 2017.
We can hope. We'll have, hopefully by that point, we'll have veterans to play with for a while.
I hope so. I mean, we should. I'm going to guess. I'm going to put it out there. I think we will have Imperial Veterans by July 4th.
Yeah, I mean, there was that leak that ended up being not necessarily fake, but was way ahead of schedule for that particular store. And you know, they had said, oh, within a couple of weeks, that's already gone and passed. So, yeah, I would hopefully, you know, beginning of July, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I'm thinking July 4th, right? Independence Day, government, empire, veterans, maybe? I don't know.
Well, if FFG is going to do the, you know, street date thing again, we're looking at, if it is again going to be on a Thursday, that would be July 7th. So lucky number 7.
Lucky number 7. We can only hope. All right, let's go on to our next segment.
We are back with the X-Wing Trivia Challenge, and returning to help me out with this is Andrea. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys tonight?
Woohoo! All right, yeah. So our champion Will Ivins has left us.
Wah, wah,
so because of that, we have brought in 4 people to try to take up that mantle of champion. We will have a new champion today, and our contestants are
Darwin Schaefer,
Alex Marin,
John Wolin,
Alec Idols.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. All right, gentlemen, so just to review, there will be 5 questions. If we have a tie, there will be a bonus question. It can end in a tie, and we'll
deal with that.
We'll deal with that if we get there. You write down your answers. You read out your answers out loud. That way, if you say something stupid, it's recorded, and we can laugh. It's mm-hmm. awesome. It's really good. If you don't know, just say you don't know, and we'll award points as we go. Make sure you talk directly into the microphone. Question number 1. Here we go.
Oh, me. What is the name of the pilot with the following ability? When an enemy ship acquires a target lock, it must lock onto your ship if able. When an enemy ship acquires a target lock, it must lock onto your ship if able.
Three, two, one.
Okay.
All right.
Anybody have an answer? Let's start. Who's got the mic? Oh, it's in the middle. Okay, let's start with Al on the end.
I think it's a shuttle king. It starts with a K.
Pass the mic.
Yes.
I couldn't remember.
IDK.
Can I phone a friend?
You cannot phone a friend? Oh, okay. All right. So nobody gets that one.
Al was the closest. Yeah, it's Charles. Captain Coggy.
Coggy.
Mm-hmm. But.
Yeah, well.
Captain K.
That's just like 25% of the way there. Yeah.
Okay, nobody got that one.
Okay.
Question 2.
Tactician works at what range?
Go ahead.
Start at the end with Al.
Range 2.
Next.
Range 2.
Okay.
Range 2.
Range 2.
Okay, everybody got that.
Ding a ding a ding a ding a ding a ding a ding. So yeah, if you have somebody in arc at range 2, give them stress with tactician.
Stress and this.
So everybody's tied at 1.
Okay, question number 3. Are the movement guides on bomb tokens considered when measuring range or when a ship overlaps?
Can you repeat it?
Are the movement guides on bomb tokens considered when measuring range or when a ship overlaps? Dramatic effect.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
I'm going to say both.
Well, that was a yes or no answer.
So. Yes, both.
Okay.
No.
Yes.
I'm going to go with yes.
The answer is yes. All righty.
Okay, so Al got one, Alex got one, and Darwin got another one. Okay.
Yeah, that's definitely an interesting one, because usually for measuring range, right, when we play, the nubs don't count, but
right.
for the bombs.
But for bombs, they do, yeah. Mm-hmm. Ron likes to remind me of that when he like just barely clips me with his space poop, and I don't like it. okay, question number four. To date, what ship has a mass misprint on their ship base? To date, what ship has a mass misprint on their ship base?
To clarify this, what I mean by mass misprint, meaning it wasn't a isolated thing. It was, had a lot of things. I mean, there's four people. I had to throw some hard questions.
I would probably be zero for all trivia questions at this point across all days. This is why I have Ron. He remembers all this stuff. Okay, everybody ready?
All right.
Anybody? Yeah, okay, go ahead.
I don't know.
I won with the guess Decimator.
Okay.
I do not know.
I put Scum Boba Fett because it's missing the rear firing arc.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 Darwin ding, ding, ding. Yeah, the Scum fire spray was missing. That's the auxiliary arc symbol on the base.
Yep. Okay, last question. Unless we do a bonus.
For score recap, we have Alex with 2, Al with 2, Darwin with 3, and John with 1.
Yep. Okay.
That's right, John. You're still in this.
Okay. Yeah, no, he's not, but that's okay.
For fun, you're in it still.
How many points is the pilot Lebo? No, there are no phone friends. There are no prizes for it.
Not on this one. This one's right on the nose.
There's no Jeopardy rules of over under.
I know this is an arbitrary.
I don't think you can arbitrary.
I like it. That's
you just
what
like
is the
go through the rule book when you're like on the can or something like that and just highlight like
you found
this
my
is the hard one.
You found my technique.
Okay, everybody ready?
Ready.
Okay, let's start with Al.
26.
Okay.
32.
Okay.
38.
Okay.
24.
Nobody got it.
Nobody got it. The answer was 34. So that means Darwin is our champion. Now, go ahead. Give your speech.
You can make a speech.
Make a speech, Darwin. Make a speech.
I challenge Will next week to defend his title.
Oh!
Let's hope he's here.
That's some beef.
I would drop the mic, but it's not my mic.
Don't drop my microphone. You know, just for S&G, all right? Just for fun. Let's just do the bonus question.
I mean, you can save the bonus question for next week.
Yeah, but I like this bonus question.
Okay, fine. Okay, here's your bonus question.
This is just for fun. Here we go.
What pilot has the following ability? So it's our first question and then our last.
Yeah, well, we'll see. The bonus questions are always about stuff that's not released yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's why I didn't recognize
that. That's what I'm starting
okay.
to do.
So what pilot has the following ability? Once per round, after you discard an elite upgrade card, flip that card face up. Once per round, after you discard an elite upgrade card, flip that card face up.
So I was while they're thinking about it, I was playing on Vassal a couple days ago, okay. And this guy trashed me. It's like crack shot. Okay. It's like every turn.
Fine.
He flanked
with
me.
With resignation.
That was it. Does it help if I tell you it's a TIE bomber?
I knew that.
Yeah, I know that.
Actually, I didn't think it was a bomber. I thought it was a punisher.
Yeah, that's why I took it for granted. I was like, it's just a TIE bomber. I can't ignore it. No, don't.
No, you can't ignore that one anymore.
That. Nobody got it.
Anybody have an answer?
Nope.
Can you
It is not Deathfire. It is not Deathfire. All right.
Nobody got an answer? It's,
I knew it was the new bomber, but I can't remember his name.
It's Tomax Bren.
Yep, Tomax Bren, and we're sure we're gonna totally see tons of Tomax Bren once he comes out.
We're gonna see a whole bunch of Defenders, a whole
Unlimited
bunch of Punishers. We're gonna see a whole bunch of ships that nobody plays.
Yes, because
they're
awesome.
Kind of irrelevant. No, nobody got that new.
Nobody got
guide.
That one. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for participating. One thing I want to do in the future is, listeners, I want you to email us at goldsquadrontpodcast@gmail.com because I want to get some listeners involved in these trivias, and we will do it over Skype and have you face off with our current in-store champion while we
I
do
like
this.
That.
Yeah.
Like
you gotta face. You gotta face the whole. World.
We gotta up the stakes,
you man. Get the Hoth open.
Yeah, we gotta up the stakes. We gotta make it more difficult on you guys.
All right, thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks, everybody.
Enjoy your next segment.
It's a drop.
So, all right, we're in to one of our new segments here. We've called it "It's a Trap," and specifically, we want to talk about improving the play experience for yourself and your opponent. And the reason I called it "It's a Trap" because there's sometimes things that we might do unintentionally that can have your opponent or you have a bad experience. They might think you're doing something purposefully that they think you're doing blatantly and trying to cheat the game. So just kind of going over things that we can do to just improve everybody's time having X-Wing.
Yeah, I mean, we're all here to play a game and have fun, so we might as well try to do it as best we can.
So what we're going to do is I'll bring up one subject. We'll kind of talk about it a little bit. And then Alex, you give me one. We'll talk about it and then we'll move on.
Awesome.
So probably the biggest one that I see with newer players mostly is we need to make sure that we're having accurate template placement. Specifically, you need to use two hands. What I see a lot of newer players do, and They're not doing it on purpose, so they just don't know. And I nicely tell them, and then after that, they're fine. But they'll like just kind of drop the template somewhere close, and then with the same hand grab the ship and just kind of toss it somewhere near the end of the template, and then pick up the template and then just kind of move on. But one of my favorite parts about this game is the accuracy of the game. A bank is 45 degrees. Hard turns are 90 degrees. And, you know, with our tactics, when we're trying to play, those angles and those movements matter. There is wiggle room within that system to try to get an advantage, but you need to make sure that you're accurate with the template, placement. So what you should do, if you're not aware, with one hand, first thing you do is put a finger on your ship before you put the template down. Put a finger on the ship. You grab your template. You put it all the way in the guides. Now, here is where you have a little bit of wiggle room because you'll notice that your templates don't fully take up the space of that of where the nubs are. You can move it. Mind you, it's like a fraction of a centimeter.
In millimeters, at best.
Right, it's really small, but it could, you never, sometimes with, you know, crazy range shots, if you're super accurate, you know, and really exact, you can use those to your advantage. You know, you put it in there, you make sure it's all the way in there, and then you hold down the template. Now you release your finger off of your ship, you pick up your ship with your second hand, you put it in the guides, double check, make sure it's in there, and then release the template, release the ship, you're done.
Yeah, I mean, the template should be as firm as possible throughout the whole entire maneuver, because that's what's going to determine where you are. Another thing I like to do is just, even if, even when your maneuver is, you know, quote, done, just in case your opponent has any sort of misgivings or something like that, and they want you to revert your ship back just to see something, don't, the second you put your ship down, don't just remove your template right away. You know, just give it a second, just give it a good look over. You know, you're not touching any debris or rocks or anything like that. You know, I mean, that's just a thing with me. That's definitely not universal.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then another piece with that is when you're flying around debris and stuff, What I've been doing lately is I'll ask my opponent, hey, would you mind putting your finger on the debris cloud to make sure I don't accidentally bump it or something like that, or the asteroid? Because I don't want to cheat my opponent. I want to make sure that, again, we're being accurate to the game. And sometimes, you know, it's happened to me. I'm putting my ship down, and even just like the tiny corner kind of clips the asteroid, and they're just cardboard, right? So they just kind of, they slide, and they might slide a significant amount. And then you're like, oh, I'm not sure where that was. Did you clip it? Did you not clip it? And it just, it avoids those kind of awkward things where it's like your opponent thinks you clipped it, or you know, it's just try to make the game as accurate as possible. And if you need help, ask for help.
Yeah, it's a two-person game. Everybody's responsible for kind of preserving the game state. You're also just protecting yourself, because when I play, if I bump something, I give honors to my opponent. I say, hey, you know, you put it where you think it was. And, you know, I'm not naming names or anything like that. I've never had this happen to me, but you might have a kind of malicious opponent who's like, you know, I like this rock here. This is kind of where I like it. This is where I thought it was. So you're just kind of preserving the game state for everybody. It's a two-player game. You know, you don't want to place blame on anybody for doing anything.
Exactly. And I think that's where the, you know, to talk about fly casual, you know, not placing blame on people is, I think, a big part of that. You know, just trying to. One way we can avoid weird situations, the kind of awkward things where people get upset, is being accurate in the game. Now, if you need help, don't be afraid to ask your opponent for help. For instance, I played a game a couple weeks ago with a gentleman who had hand surgery, but he wanted to play X-Wing. So I was like, oh, hey, I'll help you out. That's not a problem. So, you know, I held down his ship while he put down the maneuver template, and then I moved the ship for him. Or, for instance, if you have your ship all the way on the other side of the board and you can't reach it, you know, sometimes I know I got a little belly. Sometimes I don't want to, you know, bump the ship that's right next to me. He's like, hey, would you mind moving my ship for me? You know, that's fine, too. All right. Go ahead, Alex.
So the next thing that's definitely crucial in the game is your actions. Most actions in the game is, you know, you commit to it and that's your action, especially movement ones, to where you are in between two spaces and you have to pick where you want to be. You know, let's just talk about barrel roll. So barrel roll, it's three different things that can change. You can, from where your ship is, you can change where the template goes at your current position. And then when you move it, you can change where your ship goes along that template. That's a lot of different places you can end up. In a premier event, a lot of, you know, I think anybody's going to say, you know, where you put it, you commit to it, that's it. In like a casual league thing, I don't mind if you go, oh, you know, can I do this instead? Something like that. That's not a big deal to me. But definitely when you're in a serious tournament, make sure you're pulling the actions that you want to do, because you don't want to upset your opponent for double guessing your own stuff and just making it seem like you're just trying to make everything advantageous to you. Because, you know, you want to have fun. You don't want to come away from a game and have someone feel like they got cheated for things that you did throughout the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would think you also don't want to leave a game and feel kind of scummy, right? You're like, oh, I took advantage of X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, I mean, whenever I do something like that, you know, I always, like I said, I give honors to my opponent. I let them have the say because it's affecting them the most. I always, you know, I don't want to feel cheated, especially with stuff like rules. Like I do not hesitate to call over a TO because I'm not going to make a rule call that's going to end up in my favor and have my opponent think, oh, you know, he's just calling the rules how he likes them or something like that. I always try to have some sort of third party with stuff like that.
Absolutely. And just be like, hey, I want to clarify this. And that's just to make sure that we're playing the game accurately. And as for the barrel roll thing, one thing I've started doing and boosting is I'll say, I want to barrel roll to the right.
Oh, yeah. Calling out your actions before you do them gives yourself a lot of credibility to your opponent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, since we're talking about actions, you know, when I started playing this game, one of the biggest things I kept missing was when to perform my action. I'm excited about playing the game, and I'd start moving ships around and forget to put my actions down. In a premiere event, let's say you have several ships at PS2, okay? By the rules of the game, if you activate one ship and move it, and you don't do the action with that ship, and you move on, you have missed the window to do the action. Now, you know, Alex and I have played a few games before, and we know, hey, all my ships are going to go forward to and do a focus. And we're like, oh, yeah, that's fine. But if you want to just really kind of cover your bases, especially if you're playing with somebody you don't know, that person well, they're not one of your friends, hey, just be on the safe side. Move your ship, do your action, move your ship, do your action.
Yeah, I mean, the rules in the game are meant to protect yourself, because if you don't call your action and someone says, hey, you know, your action is passed, that's hurting you. It's not hurting your opponents. So you definitely want to make sure you make sure everything runs in its proper course, because it's going to three times out of four, it's going to help you to do everything in its correct order.
Yeah. And then another thing, just to improve the quality of the game between you and your opponent, is if you know that your opponent missed an action, I know that it's not super advantageous to you, and you might not want to do this at a premiere event. As a premiere event, everybody, you hold yourself to the highest standards. But I know when I'm in league play, even at the Hoth Open when I was there, there was a guy I was playing with, and he was forgetting his actions, and I'd just be like, hey, man, don't forget to take your action. And he'd go, oh, man, thanks. Thanks. You know, and then he did his focus or target lock or whatever.
Go ahead.
Just to make sure that everybody has their opportunity.
Yeah, I love seeing the people that have the custom movement templates with do your action printed on them.
Yes,
I love those.
Yeah, when I went to the Hoth Open, I had action written in Sharpie on both hands, inside and out, just to make sure make sure that I have that.
I mean, this game, just there's so many phases, there's so many interactions. It's super easy to forget what you're doing. So nobody's going to really fault you at a non-premier event for forgetting to do something.
Absolutely. Well, that's our first edition of It's a Trap. Let's not fall into those traps, guys. Let's just continue, continue to fly casual and just enjoy our game.
Where are those transmissions you intercepted? What have you done with those plans?
All right, everybody, we're just going to talk real quick about some upcoming events for X-Wing. So as we've talked about before, we have the National Champions at Origins Game Fair. That's probably going to be going on right when you guys are listening to this. That is going to be June 16th to 18th. So it's going to be pretty big. Going to see a lot of cool, hopefully a lot of cool, interesting lists. And then after that, we're going to have our local Pastimes Monthly Tournament. That's going to be July 3rd. And then after that, about a month after, we have the North American Championship at Gen Con. And that's going to be August 4th to 7th. I know Ron's going to that, right? How about you?
Yeah, I bought my ticket for the X-Wing event. I'm still trying to see if I can actually go. I might have wasted that money, but there's a chance now, because of a couple of things, that I might be able to go and represent the Gold Squadron podcast at Gen Con.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure it out myself, so hopefully I can join you guys.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. All right, guys, so thank you very much for listening to episode 4. It's been awesome. Alex, thanks for being a part of my crew, man.
Anytime.
All right, man. So if you haven't listened to any of the other podcasts out there, go to the X-Wing Podcast Alliance page. There's a bunch of podcasts that have become a part of it. I mean, there's tons of really good content. We're all supporting each other. We're talking each other up, just trying to expand everybody's knowledge and just have a good time. A couple of things. You've already heard our X-Wing Trivia Challenge segment. If you want to be a part of that, I'm going to try to organize a listener's edition of X-Wing Trivia. If you want to be a part of that, I want you to send us an email at goldsquadrantpodcast@gmail.com and just drop me a line and say, hey, Dion, I'd like to be a part of the X-Wing Trivia. Let me know when it's happening. And then I'll send out an email blast and we'll get something organized. Also, if you have anything for our It's a Trap segment that you'd like us to discuss, we can absolutely put it out there and discuss it. Please like our Facebook page on Gold Squadron Podcast. If you're on Twitter, we are too, at Gold Squadron. And if you're in our local area and you want to join our play group and just kind of hang out and play games, we have our Wednesday night leagues. You can go to pastimes.net/Star Wars and you can join our group there. We have tons of events that happen in our store at Pastimes, and we love playing X-Wing. So, again, thanks for listening.
I probably should say something. Yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good one.
Gold Squadron out.